Well, our speaker this evening doesn't need an introduction, but I would like to pass on something I remember Bob Ely saying one time when Bob was here, and he was our guest speaker, and Bob said, you know, we're really lucky to have someone like that to be a minister in the church. And he said he's good looking, too. That hasn't changed. It's good to have Bob here with us this evening, and I'm sure that he'd appreciate your silent prayers as he brings us the message. Brother Bob.
Thank you, Dave. I don't know. I think I might have changed a bit every time I look in the mirror. But I do appreciate your prayers. I do have some thoughts. I'd like to hopefully that will be edifying to you. That will strengthen you. Speak to your soul. And I heard that Sydney was pretty concerned about being bored tonight. And I'll do my best not to bore you. Okay? So if you'd like, if you want to raise your hands, and I'll ask you to read from time to time, if that'd be okay. Is that okay? Okay. I'm not going to embarrass you. But I do have some thoughts. How many people here watch the evening news on a regular basis? Half or so. Okay. Sometimes I think when we watch the evening news, we can get a pretty dismal view of things. Because what do? If you, even if you're driving around the radio, you hear the advertisements. You know, oh, talking on your cell phone may cause cancer. Check the news at 6 and 10 tonight, and we'll tell you the whole story. And it's, oh, I better watch the news. And, you know, how is the economy going to destroy your retirement? You know, visit us at channel whatever at 6 and 10, and we'll tell you the whole story. And I want you to understand that sometimes that constant assault on our spirits can wear us down. You know, you see people that become discouraged about the doom and gloom and the things that how terrible things are and how bad the economy is and nobody can get jobs, and because all I got to do is read the headlines in the paper and or listen to the newscasters and the economic forecast of all the experts, and it can wear you down. And I don't want to sit here and trash the media. That's not what I'm. I don't believe that's what we should do. Because I want you to understand what they're trying to do. The people in the media, they're trying to increase your desire to watch their news. Why are they doing that? Because that gets their ratings up so they can make more money when they sell advertisements. That's all they're trying to do. And the really good ones are able to make their news sound exciting and breathtaking. And, oh, I got to check out the news because it's going to be important this time. And so I'll watch the news. But remember, part of that news is so that you watch so that they can make more money. And that's what their business is. That's what their profession is. I'm not upset about them making money, and I don't want that to be my spiel. But I just want to understand where they're coming from. You know, they're reporting the facts and the events through their own perspectives, and sometimes they do try to stir things up to improve their viewership. But I want us to be able to look at the world events, and I want to make sure we're looking at them that we strain those things we see through the Word of God. How many times in the Scripture does it call what Christ came and taught the gospel? He came and preached the gospel. The gospel is preached to all men. Have we ever sat down, and I want to make sure we have a clear understanding of what the gospel is, what the gospel means, what it does. If I was following along on a piece of paper and there was a square there that had what the title might be, I'd put the good news. Because that's what the Greek word means. The word we have is gospel in the scriptures. It means good news, a good message, an announcement of good tidings. It can be like when the soldiers came back and declared victory. That was good news. That was the gospel. And so that's the same kind of concept, but this is the gospel of Christ. And how valuable good news is. I happened to be reading the paper a little bit this afternoon. Anybody else read it? Carmichael, hero of USS Bunker Hill, dies. Lieutenant Commander Joseph R. Carmichael. The Bunker Hill was an aircraft carrier in World War II. And on May 11th, 1945, it was hit with two kamikaze planes. The planes crashed into the ship to try and sink it. Okay? And this lieutenant commander, he was the chief engineer. He just finished his shift and was in his office doing paperwork when it happened. And as soon as it happened, he didn't have to go to where he went, but he did. As soon as it happened, he went down to the engine room, down five decks of the ship. While everybody else is trying to evacuate up, he was heading down to the engine room. He was at 25 feet below sea level, and the ship was on fire. He knew that the ship above him was burning and could sink, but he went down into the engine room. And he ends up winning an award, Navy Cross, which is way up there, close to the Medal of Honor. But what he did was he kept those engines going for 20 hours. He was on duty keeping those engines going. Because without those engines constantly going in that, I mean, an aircraft carrier is huge. Everybody understands that, right? There's 3,000 people on this ship. And so he's down there in those engines. He had a crew of several hundred helping him keep those engines running because the engines were giving the power to circulate that air so that those sailors that are trapped are getting fresh air to blow out the smoke. So those engines are constantly running to keep the pumps going, to pump the water to fight the fires. And those engines are constantly going so that they can get out of harm's way. And his efforts saved 2,800 crew members. And one of the things that he did was he opened the public address system on the ship, which is like the PA, and announced, "This is the chief engineer speaking. The ship is not sinking. It is not in any danger of sinking, and it will not sink. So put your minds at rest on that." Okay, remember, they got hit by kamikazes from the top. So the sides and the bottom of the ship were solid. It wasn't like they got hit by a torpedo and there was holes leaking water. There was a fire and they were fighting the fire, but the ship wasn't sinking. It says, many sailors point to the time they heard those words as a defining moment in the struggle to save the Bunker Hill. That's how important, you know, think about it. If you're on a ship, it's on fire, you're out in the middle of the ocean, and, you know, you're thinking it's going to go down. And you don't want to be out in the water. But how comforting was it to hear the chief engineer say, "Hey, listen, it's not going to sink. So we have work to do, and there's problems, but it's not going to sink." And that changed the attitude of that entire ship. the power of good news. And the good news of the gospel has that same ability to a different degree. And that's what I want to cover today is that gospel of Christ and what it does. What is it? I want to turn over to 3 Nephi in the 12th chapter. I want us, if we're going to be able to share this gospel, we have to have a clear understanding of what exactly it is. 3 Nephi, the 12th chapter, otherwise known as the 12th chapter of 3 Nephi. If you want a page number, it's 673. And I'm going to start on verse 25. 25. It says, "Behold, this is Christ speaking, I have given unto you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of my Father, because my Father sent me." Part of that gospel is understanding that the Father has this plan, and Christ was sent, and he obeyed, and he came to the world to do his Father's will, and my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross, and after that I had been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me. That as I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. And it shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world." That's the gospel. The gospel that Christ came. He was born on this earth, that he was crucified, that he was resurrected in order to save the human race. Part of God's plan that came to fruition. That's the good news. That's what the gospel can do. That's what it is. I want to turn over into Romans, the first chapter. What is this? I mean, that's what the gospel was, but what does it do? This is Paul speaking to the Romans, the first chapter of Romans. I'm going to start with the 16th verse. It says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." It's the power of God into salvation. It talks a little bit about, I'm going to turn over to it real quick, in 1 Corinthians, in the 15th chapter. You know, the power of what the gospel does when it's understood and applied in our lives. Chapter of 1 Corinthians in the 22nd verse. It says, "For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." You know, I don't want to go through the whole, all the scriptures that talk about the fall of man. But I want to refresh that memory of the choice that Adam made in sinning and the consequences of separation from God, the Father. Separation between, you know, being with Him at all times. And the difference of what happens with the gospel of Christ, His incarnation, His crucifixion, and His resurrection, that made it so that we are allowed back into His presence. The gospel makes us alive again. We all died with Adam in his sin. We all die physically now because of that sin. But we've been given the opportunity for an eternal life. I want to turn over to 2 Timothy in the first chapter. Says, I'm going to start with the 8th verse. It says, "Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who hath saved us and called us with an holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and hath brought life and immortality to light through the gospel." He brought that light, that understanding of that immortality. You know, or how our souls were always eternal. But that gospel that Christ brought clarified it. It opened the way where we might have resurrection. We might have the opportunity for eternity with our Heavenly Father. Another thing that the gospel does, I'm going to turn over to Romans. In the 6th chapter. And this might be the most important. That gospel talked about how that Christ came from the Father. There in the Book of Mormon where I read. And that those who would repent and be baptized might have eternal life. In the 6th chapter, I'm going to start with the first verse. Says, "What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into death, and that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. For he that is dead is freed from sin." The gospel frees us from sin. It frees us from the consequences of that eternal damnation because of our own sin. I'll turn to Mosiah in the 11th chapter. Mosiah, the 11th chapter, 139th verse, one of my favorite scriptures. It says, "Yea, and as often as my people repent, will I forgive them their trespasses against me." That's the gospel. That's the good news. You know, think about it. Each of us were in a place in our life at one time when we didn't know. And we had not made that covenant. And because of His sacrifice and His promises, we are free from the everlasting, you know, from the everlasting damnation of our souls because of His sacrifice. That's good news. In Luke, in the 4th chapter, when Christ begins his ministry. I'll start with, this is Luke, the 4th chapter, and I will start with the 16th verse. "And he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. And as his custom was, he went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and stood up for to read. And there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when he had opened the book, he found the place where it was written, 'The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord.' And he closed the book, and he gave it again to the minister, and sat down, and the eyes of all them that were in the synagogue were fastened on him. And he began to say unto them, 'This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears.'" He came to preach the gospel to the poor, to heal the brokenhearted. That's what the gospel does. When we're struggling with trials in our life and with relationships, He can heal the broken hearts. To preach deliverance to the captives that were freed. You know, we don't understand sometimes how those chains of sin slowly, over time, bind us down. And the gospel, that good news is that He has the way to free us from that. To deliver us as captives. The recovering of sight to the blind. You know, I was reminded of a story about a couple of kids that went into Carlsbad Caverns, big cave. And I've been in some caves, but I haven't been in one where they turned off the lights. But I guess this is one where they did. They went in there and, you know, on the tour, they turned the lights off. I can only imagine how dark it was. Absolutely no light whatsoever. You know, how valuable would just the littlest bit of light be? You know, and when you're just hoping, well, whoever turned that light off, boy, I sure hope they don't take their hand off that switch to turn it back on. Because we can't get out of here. But the gospel, spiritually we blind ourselves sometimes. But the gospel has the power to give us light, to be able to see. To see clearly the day that we live in. That's the power that is in this gospel. That's what it does. It changes lives. So Something else that the gospel can do, I'm going to turn over to Colossians, the first chapter. Colossians, the first chapter, says, the 19th verse is where I'm going to start. For it pleased the Father that in Him should all fullness dwell, and having made peace through the blood of His cross, by Him to reconcile all things unto Himself. By Him, I say, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometime alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath He reconciled. Do you ever realize that you were an enemy to God by our works? Our works make us an enemy. You know, I know He doesn't hate us, but our works make us an enemy to Him. But He provided the path to be reconciled. In the body of His flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in His sight. Clean. We're not held account for those. We're not enemies anymore. We're friends. If you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, and be not moved away from the hope of the gospel, which ye have heard and which was preached to every creature which is under heaven, whereof I, Paul, am made a minister. That hope of the gospel. The gospel provides hope. The soul without hope is like those sailors on that ship. There's nothing to look forward to. Because we're going to die anyway. But that hope gives us strength to push on. To carry on, to hang on just a little bit longer. The gospel is powerful. And I want us to be extremely aware and familiar with that, because we need to be able to communicate it to people. I want to turn over to Ether in the 5th chapter. Ether, chapter 5. I'll start with the 2nd verse. I'm trying to not to jump into the middle of the sentence. It's talking about Ether and the things that he did. It says, and Ether was a prophet of the Lord. Wherefore Ether came forth in the days of Coriantumr and began to prophesy unto the people, for he could not be restrained because of the Spirit of the Lord which was in him. For he did cry from the morning even until the going down of the sun, exhorting the people to believe in God unto repentance, lest they should be destroyed, saying unto them that by faith all things are fulfilled. Wherefore, whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world. Whoso believeth in God might with surety hope for a better world. Yea, even a place at the right hand of God, which hope cometh of faith, maketh an anchor to the souls of men, which should make them sure and steadfast, always abounding in good works, being led to glorify God. That's what the gospel does. It anchors us through the trials of this life. Because if we can maintain that hope. Sounds like a song, doesn't it? Sure and steadfast. Something else that the gospel does for us. John in the 14th chapter. John, the 14th chapter, and the 27th verse. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You know, it's pretty simple. When we allow that gospel to work in our hearts, it gives us that spiritual peace to remember that, hey, God's in control. He had the plan from the very beginning. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at tonight is the nightly news versus the good news. The good news trumps it every time. It's powerful. It changes lives. It's that peace that only comes from our Heavenly Father. It's the hope of the gospel, the hope for a better world, a better place. And it's that freedom from sin, freedom from the consequences of our past life. How valuable good news is. You know, the world, I hate to use that term, the world, because, that's us. We're in the world. I don't want to, their souls are as valuable as ours. I don't want to separate us. But a lot of people see the glass as half empty. And other people say, well, I see the glass as half full. But I think that we have the opportunity. Think about it. Think big picture. You got a glass of water. The glass isn't the important part. It's the stuff in it. It's the water. And right there in John, back up to the 4th chapter. This is a story about the woman at the well and how she gets him that water and he tells her all these things about herself. But I want to start with just the 13th and 14th verse. It says, whoso drinketh of this water shall thirst again, but whoso drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water, springing up into everlasting life. Look past the glass and look to the pitcher that will never run out of water. God is our provider. It's not our own abilities. With Him as our provider, we'll never be thirsty. It's not a matter of being half full or half empty. It's only about thirsty. And we won't be if we are relying upon God. So I'd like us to remember that no matter how bad things get or how panic the voices on the TV sound, let's take a deep breath. Remember that God is still in control, that He's still sitting in His throne, His rightful place. He is ruling the world according to His plan. Fathers have a responsibility to provide for their families. He's our Father too. He's going to provide for our needs. As His children, we have responsibilities. We have a responsibility to trust His promises and obey His instructions. That's the gospel. He promises that when we do those things, we have eternal life. Trust and obey. Well, there's no other way. Hopefully, if you do regularly visit the news, that you equally regularly visit the scriptures to balance, to keep our thoughts and our minds in a right perspective with our lives, with the world events, and with the God who is in control. So I thank you for your time.